Welcome to Bayview United Church's conference call worship service for Sunday, July 26, 2020. If you're on a Windows-based computer, you can go to the bottom left and mute your microphone and stop your video. If you're on an Apple product, go to the top corner, right corner, mute your microphone and stop your video. All the phone callers, if you could press *6, that will mute your microphone as well. Callers, phone callers, *6.
Yeah, I'll put it on the TV and move the table back.
Okay, in a minute we'll have Karen start playing the prelude.
Brian, will I have to unmute myself?
No, you're okay. I'll handle your. You just stay unmuted, Carol or Harley. Okay, Karen, we're ready for your prelude.
Okay.
Did you read the moment of silent reflection, Mama? Moment of silent reflection.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Cindy.
Karen, that was really beautiful piece to begin our service today. So thank you. So good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining. It's our 20th Zoom audio video worship service. And it's really hard to believe that it has been over 4 months since we last have been in our sanctuary, but we have been doing our online worship services, and it has been a blessing to be able to gather together each week in our own homes. And I so enjoy hearing your voices and seeing some of you each week. You look, you sound wonderful. It's amazing how we can know one another by our voices. Last Sunday, we had 65 callers, which would be over 75 people. So you're truly amazing at how you're keeping on and being committed to our services. However, today is our last service of the summer. We're going to take the month of August to have a break from our Zoom audio and video services, but we will be back on September the 6th for our Zoom audio video services. And I'm really just so thankful to the worship team and the tech team for all their efforts and work to be able to get us online so that we can be together to share in our services together. It really has been a group effort, and I'm just grateful to everyone for their support in enabling these services to happen each Sunday. And I also want to thank all of you for continuing to join in with us and being part of our services. It really has been your appreciation really has meant the world to us, that it has meant so much to us, and that the service have been meaningful to you as well. So we're just grateful for your opportunity, for your continued support and being present, and for making these services an opportunity to really worship and celebrate the gift of God in our lives. And I want to also give a big thank you to everyone who's been helping and financially supporting our church, especially over these last 4 months. Your generosity has been overwhelming. So thank you so much for that commitment. And of course, we invite you to continue to give over the summer month of August as you are able, with sending in a check or through PAR, even e-transfer, as well as Canada Help. So we're just thankful to you for your gifts and also your support to the Church and Mission and Service Fund as you're able. And I just, as we're ending up for the season, just reminding you to keep in touch with people through phone or email, just to see how people are doing, people you haven't seen or heard from for a while. It's just so important to keep in touch with each other and hear each other's voices and just to check in. So please, if you're able to phone each other, that would be so wonderful, as it really is such an important ministry of pastoral care to each other. And I just want to thank all of us, or all those who are participating in our service today, Karen and our music people, Penny and Lauren. I'm overworking them today with having them sing 8 hymns, so that we're able to sing our faith, some of the oldies but goodies that enable us to really express our faith in different ways, and how the stories of these hymn writers have impacted us. And we're also going to be having a special solo at the very end of the service, Precious Watanabe. She's going to be singing, and it's always a joy to hear her sing because she has such a lovely voice. So thank you, Precious, for being part of our service today. And at the very end of the service, we're also going to be thanking our choir. We've invited the choir and those who have helped out with the choir and to be part of our service today. And that's wonderful to have Brenda, and I think Karen Davidson, and all the people who are part of music. So we'll be thanking them at the end of the service. And just want to thank also Janice. She's reading our scripture today. And also all of our scripture readers of John, Carol, Lori, and Janice. Appreciate them doing the alternating readings each week. So it's been very grateful for them and also to our team of us all connected. We want to extend our sympathies to the family of Hedy Arai, who passed away on July the 11th. Our deepest sympathies go out to the family at this time. And I also want to express a happy anniversary to Precious and Peter Watanabe, who celebrated their 21st anniversary on July the 24th. So happy anniversary to the two of you, and hope you had a wonderful day. And also we want to send out a special happy birthday greeting to Hazel Hayes. She's celebrating today her 95th birthday. And every time I've talked to her on the phone, she says, "I can't wait to come back to church and see all my friends at BUC." So she's anxious to come back, but we know it's we want to keep her safe. So we want to keep everyone safe. So it'll be a while for that. But anyway, we wish her a happy day today. And we also want to extend a pre-happy birthday to Peter Watanabe. He's celebrating a birthday on August the 8th. So we hope you have a great day. So Karen is going to sing or play happy birthday so that we can all join in singing happy birthday to Hazel and Peter. Thanks, Karen, and I hope both Hazel and Peter have a wonderful birthday celebration. And if you do have any birthdays or anniversaries coming up in September, you can let me know, phone or email me, and I'm happy to announce anyone's special days as well. So if you have an order of service, I invite you to follow along. You can read the prayers, and I hope you'll be able to sing some of the hymns. Hopefully you'll know some of these oldies but goodies. You are muted, so you can sing a joyful noise. Karen will play an introduction to the hymns, and our soloists, Penny and Lauren, will sing our songs, our hymns for us. So let's just take a moment to quiet our thoughts as we prepare our hearts for a time of worship. The words and the melodies of our hymns have inspired, uplifted, comforted, and moved us to tears for centuries. Hymns embrace our feelings and build up our faith. As we sing our hymns, may we be touched by the lives of the writers who have witnessed to God's presence in their lives. We are grateful for God's compassion, which supports us when we are in need of love. So may the hymns strengthen our faith and unite us in harmony with God and with one another. Let us worship God with a song on our hearts. So our first hymn was written by Reverend Maltby Babcock, and he was a Presbyterian minister who lived in Lockport, New York. And he wrote a 16-verse poem in 1900, and that was published in 1901, just after his death at the age of 43. But Reverend Babcock used to take early morning walks into the countryside. He'd climb a hill and he'd look at the countryside, and he'd also be able to see Lake Ontario. And it was through that he began to write this poem. He would tell his wife whenever he went out, "I'm going to see my father's world." He loved to listen to the carol of the birds, to meditate and to commune with nature, for he felt so connected with God and all of nature as he walked. He saw the beauty of God's creation. So Penny is now going to lead us in singing "This Is God's Wondrous World."
This is God's wondrous world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is God's wondrous world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, God's hand the wonders wrought. This is God's wondrous world. The birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is God's wondrous world. God shines in all that's fair, in the rustling grass or mountain pass, God's voice speaks everywhere.
Thank you, Penny. It's such a lovely hymn that touches so many people. So let us join together in our opening prayer. Let us pray. O God of inspiration, we praise you for the gift of music that touches our spirits and warms our hearts. Over the years, the words and music of hymns have calmed, comforted, stirred, and strengthened us. Today, as we sing the hymns of our faith, we pray that they may help us to tune into your loving and gracious presence in our lives. Amen. Our next hymn, Jesus Loves Me. I think that's probably one of the first hymns that we learn if you were a child in Sunday school. It is one that has touched so many people in so many different ways. It was written by Anna Warner in 1860, and she actually wrote the hymn for her sister, who was writing a novel called The Say and Seal. And in this particular story, there was a sick little boy named Billy. And as a result of that, Billy was ill, and his Sunday school teacher came. His name was John Linton. And John came and he held Billy in his arms. And as he was holding and comforting him, Billy asked John to sing him a song. And it was this song, Jesus Loves Me, that John sang to Billy. And it really touched him and made him feel better as he heard the song, Jesus Loves Me. Anna and Susan, they lived in New York along the Hudson River. And they lived very close to the U.S. Military Academy of West Point. And they used to teach Sunday school to the military students. And they so enjoyed having the ladies teach them. And as a result of that, when each of them passed away, they were each buried with military honor in respect for all the Christian teachings that they gave to the military soldiers as they were learning through West Point. And so one of the great theologians, Karl Barth, he was asked one day, he's a Swiss-German theologian, he was asked, you know, what is the most important theological message that you have received or heard and want to leave with the people? And he thought for a moment, and then he said, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And that is one of the greatest gifts of God's faith in our lives that can touch us and give us a sense of hope. And this particular hymn, Jesus Loves Me is one of the most translated hymns into so many different languages. Even the words have been changed many times. And so the original words from the story, we have adapted to our lives today. And so I'm going to invite Lauren. She's going to now lead us in singing Jesus Loves Me.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, in his love we shall be strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, this I know, as he loved so long ago, taking children on his knee, saying, let them come to me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Thank you, Lauren. That's one of our special hymns that so many people, whenever you ask them what hymn would they like to sing, they all know Jesus Loves Me. So thank you for sharing that. Let us continue as we join in our prayer for grace. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we are so grateful for those who have written the words and melodies to so many of our classic hymns of faith. When we are discouraged, upset, or sad, we give thanks for the hymns that lift our mood and turn our cloudy days to sunshine. May you fill us with hope and peace as we celebrate your unconditional love with us. Amen. Our next hymn was written by Henry Francis Litt just before he died in 1847. He was ordained to the church in Brickham, Devonshire. And he lived in a small fishing village, and he was a minister there for 25 years. And he found out that he had tuberculosis. And the doctor said to him that you need to leave England and you need to go to Italy for the winter to help your health so that you would be able to get through the winter, because it is really affecting your life right now. And so he had written many hymns, and on his very last Sunday, on September the 4th in 1847, after the service, he decided to go for a walk along the shore. And he kept having this desire to finish one of the poems that he had started many years ago. And he just had this undeniable desire that he just needed to finish this particular poem. And as he was walking along the shore, he felt the abiding presence of God with him. And so he, through that walk, he was able to finish the poem, and he left it with his family. And two months later, he passed away in Italy. And it was a hymn that brought him a sense of comfort, that he knew that even in life and in death, that God would be with him, that God, through Jesus, through his death and resurrection, would give him the hope to be able to carry on through whatever life brought, and knew that they would be reunited in the life with after the resurrection, that they would be together. And so he wrote this hymn knowing God's abiding love was with him. But he always had another saying that he said, it's better to wear out than to rust out. And so for more than 150 years, the bells from his church have played the and rung out the song, the hymn, Abide With Me. So I'm going to invite Penny now to sing Abide With Me. Thank you, Penny. I'm going to now invite Janice to read our scripture lesson.
The scripture this morning is from Acts 18, 22 to 30. And the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. Then the officials tore the clothes off Paul and Silas and ordered them to be whipped. After a serious beating, they were thrown into jail, and the jailer was ordered to lock them up tight. Upon receiving this order, the jailer threw them into the inner cell and fastened their feet between heavy blocks of wood. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a violent earthquake which shook the prison to its foundations. At once, all the doors opened and the chains fell off all the prisoners. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he thought that the prisoners had escaped, and so he pulled out his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul shouted at the top of his voice, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for a light, rushed in, and fell trembling at the feet of Paul and Silas. Then he led them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" May God add his blessing to these words.
Thank you, Janice. One Sunday, a minister told his congregation that they were short on finances and asked if people would be willing to give a little extra in the offering plate this particular Sunday. And so when the offering was collected, the minister noticed that there was a $1,000 bill in the offering plate. And he was just so amazed and shocked and overwhelmed that he asked, you know, who gave this $1,000 to our church? And there was a little older lady, Rosie, who was sitting at the back of the church. And she quietly put up her hand. And he said, "Please, Rosie, come forward." And he said, "Because you have given this donation, you get to choose three hymns and that we can have. And so she looked around and she looked at the congregation and she pointed at three of the most good-looking men in the church. And she said, I'd like him, him, and him. The reality is that the words and music of our hymns have greatly impacted our lives over the years. And it was the words of Jesus and his life and his death and his resurrection that really impacted the Apostle Paul. Because Paul was actually a very strict Jewish man. He followed the Jewish laws completely. But it was because of Jesus' death and resurrection that Paul converted to Christianity. And because of that faith, he was willing to go to different countries and to share his faith. And he took his apostle, Silas, with him. And together they went to different places. Sometimes they were welcomed and sometimes they weren't. And in this particular community in our reading today, they were not. And they were arrested and they were beaten severely and put into prison and they were cuffed. And it was during this time that they began to sing these hymns and pray to God and praise God for the blessings of God in their lives. And it was through this experience that the jailer realized that there must be something special to this God. And so because they worshiped and praised him and continued, even when they were freed, they didn't leave. They allowed the guard to have his life instead of leaving. And so it is that incredible faith that moved the jailer to want to become a Christian as well. And it is that particular faith that enables us to have the comfort and love that we need in our lives as we live each day, that even in the good times and some of the difficult times, it is our faith that can carry us through. And it is these hymns that have enabled us to truly feel the inspiration of our faith in our lives. And so we're going to continue with hearing a few more of our faith stories. John Newton, many of you know, wrote the hymn Amazing Grace in 1772. And when he was 4 years old, his mother died. And 4 years after that, he decided to go on the ship with his dad. He left school. And as a result of being on this ship, he decided to enter the Navy. And he became a naval officer and had a ship. And because he didn't make much money on the ship, he decided that he would go into the slave trade. And so he kidnapped black Africans and took them and sold them to other countries. And when he was 23 years old, he was in a severe storm at sea, and he thought he was going to die. And after surviving that storm, he began to read a story called The Imitation of Christ by Thomas Kempis. And it was through that story that God spoke to him, and it changed his life that he knew that he was doing wrong. And so he converted and became a Christian. And he lived his life as a Christian, and he met up with John and Charles Wesley, who again inspired him. And he eventually, John Newton, became a minister and at the age of 39. And it was through his ministry that he began to write hymns. And he wrote hymns instead of singing the Psalms. And as a result of that, one of the songs that he wrote was The Amazing Grace, that really told the story of his life. And he published a hymn book in 1779, and it was in that hymn book that Amazing Grace was published. And so he lived his life living his faith and teaching that love and forgiveness of God. And as he was getting older, he was getting forgetful. And at the age of 82, he said to himself and to others, there's two things that I know and remember, I am a great sinner, and Christ is a great Savior. So let us join now with Lauren as she sings for us Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed.
Thank you, Lauren. It's such a beautiful hymn that so many people have been touched by, and moves us each time we hear that. So our next hymn was written by a young minister named Dudley Ting, and he lived in Philadelphia. And it was during the time of some of the great revivals in 1858. And on a particular Sunday night, he had a revival gathering of 5,000 men. And at the end of it, over 100 committed their lives to Christ. And so he impacted so many people's lives. And it was just about 3 days after this great revival that he happened to be in his barn. And he was patting his mule on the back as the mule was going around using this machine that was husking the corn. And as he was patting his mule, his sleeve of his shirt got caught in the motor of this machine. And it unfortunately ripped and tore off his arm. And because of the times, they weren't able to do anything. And so he was bleeding to death. And one of his great friends, a Presbyterian minister by the name of George Duffield, rushed to his side and was there to support him during his last hours. And George asked Dudley, is there anything I can do for you? And Dudley said, I want you to speak to the boys on Sunday night. And George said, well, what do you want me to tell them? And Dudley said, I want you to tell them to stand up for Jesus. And shortly after that, Dudley passed away. So George performed the funeral service for Dudley. And it was during that funeral service that he had written a poem in honor of Dudley. And he called it, Stand Up for Jesus. So I'm going to invite Penny now to sing, and hope you join along in singing, Stand Up for Jesus.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead. Till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up, stand up. and in his strength alone, the arm of flesh will fail you. Ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor and watching unto prayer, where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there.
Thank you so much, Penny. That's it's an amazing hymn and an amazing story. Fanny Crosby was blind from an illness when she was just 6 weeks old, but she never felt bitter about being blind. And a minister once said to her, you know, too bad that the master didn't take pity on you and give you sight when you have so many gifts. And Fanny responded by saying, even if I had sight, I would ask and petition God to take that sight away so that the very first face I saw when I passed would be the face of my Savior. Fanny one time went to a Bible conference and she was asked to give a testimonial. And she thought for a moment and she remembered about a particular hymn that she hadn't had published yet. And it was a soul poem. And it really spoke to her, that gave her comfort and just a sense of calm whenever she recited this particular poem. And so she recited this particular poem to the people who were gathered for this session. And as she finished it, she saw that everyone was in tears as they heard this particular poem. She had recited Blessed Assurance. She died at the age of 95 after writing over 9,000 hymns, but this is one of her most famous hymns that she wrote. And on her tombstone, where she's buried in Connecticut, it says, Aunt Fanny, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. This particular hymn became the song, the theme song for Billy Graham during his crusades. And so I invite Lauren now to sing Blessed Assurance.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of the Spirit, washed in Christ's blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with God's goodness, lost in Christ's love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Thank you, Lauren. That was lovely. So let us unite our hearts now in a time of prayer. Let us pray. God of great harmonies, we are grateful for the words and melodies of our great hymns of faith. We're so thankful for the comfort and joy they have brought to millions of people all over the world. The hymns have lifted our spirits, soothed our souls, and turned our broken hearts into hope-filled lives. When we have felt weary, lost, or alone, when we have felt overwhelmed with grief or despair, you have come to us and surrounded us with your great arms of compassion, grace, and love. These hymns have opened our hearts to find healing and new life. We pray that the hymns will continue to deepen our faith and enrich our lives. Loving God, we continue to pray for our world, especially during this pandemic. We hold in our hearts all the frontline workers who have provided for our health care, our food needs, and have given us the essential services that we need. And so for their sacrifices and courage, we continue to give our thanks. And we pray that people will continue to be careful as they go out into the community by physically distancing, wearing masks, and washing our hands as we are able. We must all continue to be diligently caring for one another. We hold in our hearts all who are grieving the passing of loved ones, and we especially pray for Hetty Arai's family. We pray for those who are ill, those who are receiving treatments, those waiting for surgeries, those recovering from surgeries, and especially hold Henry as he is recovering from surgery. We pray for those recovering from illnesses, those who are lonely, anxious, and depressed. We pray for all dealing with financial difficulties through loss of jobs or concern about having enough money to pay rent or food for all the necessities we need. And so we're thankful for the government aid to help those who are in need. May your comforting courage and support be given to all who are in need of your loving care this day. And we rejoice with those celebrating births and birthdays, anniversaries, and new beginnings. So hear now our silent prayers for ourselves, for family, friends, our community, and our world. Hear our silent prayers. May we all feel your strength, love, and care in our hearts and minds, and may we be filled with the hope that we need as we say together the prayer Jesus first taught to his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn was written by Martin Reichardt, who was born in 1586 and died in 1649. And he lived in Eichberg, Germany. He was a Lutheran minister who ministered in a community for 32 years. And it was during this time that the 30-year war was happening. And in Eichberg, where he was a minister, they were plagued with many different plagues and famines and the war. And during that 30-year war, over 8,000 people died. And Martin was the one who buried over 4,000 people. Over 50 people a day. He even buried his wife. When peace was finally declared, he had a special service, and he preached on a particular scripture lesson from Ecclesiastes chapter 50. Now bless you the Lord, all of you everywhere, does great things, who does great things. And following that particular service, he wrote a poem called Now Thank We All Our God in 1636. It actually became the German grace that they would sing after they ate a meal. And so let us now join in singing with Penny, Now Thank We All Our God. Penny, thank you for singing all these hymns this morning. So our final hymn was written by Natalie Sleeth in 1985. It's one of our more recent hymns. And she was born in 1930 in Illinois. And when she was 4 years old, she began to learn how to play the piano. And she loved the piano. And university, she studied music and graduated with that. She married Ron Sleeth, a minister of the United Methodist Church in 1952. And she became an organist music director. She wrote many hymns, songs, and anthems. And she has some beautiful, joyous anthems that are very popular today. But our last hymn she wrote in 1985 for a choir recital that was happening in St. Petersburg, Florida. And she first called this particular hymn, Hymn of Promise. And it was based on sort of spring and winter, from life to death, that new life would come through the death and resurrection of Jesus. And it was based on these themes that were running through her mind. And she also loved a line from T.S. Eliot that said, in the end is our beginning, which is part of the verse 3 of the song that we're about to sing. But it just carries that promise of a new day, a new spring. And often it has been a song of comfort to so many people. And when it was first sung, her husband just loved it. It was the hymn of promise for him. And it was just after hearing that he was diagnosed with cancer, and he died actually just a few weeks later. And his request was that the hymn of promise be sung at his funeral. And it was, and it has become a popular hymn that is sung at many funerals today. It was first originally called a hymn of promise, but the United Church changed it to In the Bulb, There Is a Flower. And so we have enjoyed being able to sing that many times. And she died, actually, Natalie died in 1992 at the age of 61. So Lauren is now going to lead us in singing our final hymn, In the bulb there is a flower.
In the bulb there is a flower, in the seed an apple tree, in cocoons a hidden promise, butterflies will soon be free. In the cold and snow of winter, there's a spring that waits to be unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see. There's a song in every silence, seeking word and melody. There's a dawn in every darkness, bringing hope to you and me. From the past will come the future, what it holds a mystery. Unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see.
Thanks, Laura. That was lovely. And thank you for singing all of these hymns this morning as well. So I hope that all of you have been able to perhaps sing along a bit and just and be able to enjoy these classic hymns of our faith and how they have touched your life and just given a sense of hope and peace, I hope, in your life at times when you needed that extra care and love in your life. And since this is our last Sunday, we want to just take a moment to thank those who are involved in our music ministry. Over the past year, the choir has done many anthems and solos. We especially remember the Advent and Christmas music, and I know that they were preparing for Palm Sunday and Easter when the COVID-19 has interrupted that. And so we've been grateful and very thankful to have Lauren and Penny being able to sing the hymns for us each Sunday. So I want to just thank our choir for their gift of music, our music director Karen for her passion for playing such beautiful pieces of music. I want to also thank John Little, our trumpeter extraordinaire, and to Brenda and Ron, who have made the vocal and recordings for our choir so that they were able to practice at home. There are so many people that are involved in the music, and you have such wonderful gifts of song, and we're just so thankful for the music that you enrich our services with over the year, and we are just so grateful that you are a part of our church ministry and worship services. So thank you for your service of music, and we're inviting our choir and music folk to stay on for our after service chat, where we can thank them as a congregation individually as well, and also for them to have an opportunity to gather, say hello that they haven't seen some of them for a while, and just share a time of reconnecting with each other. In a few days, we are going to be receiving our July newsletter. It's going to be emailed out on Tuesday. And those who don't have email, we're actually mailing a colored copy to you so that you'll receive it hopefully next week. And within it, there is the information if you'd like to sign up to some of our local congregations during August to be able to worship with them through Zoom audio and video. So we hope that you will have, I hope that you do have a wonderful summer. And we're just grateful for this opportunity to have worshiped together. We're thankful to Mary in the office, who's been working at home, who put together the newsletter. We're just thankful to so many people who have enabled us to continue our worship and to care for our building. Linda and Carol and Lauren have been gracefully looking after that, and to our finance folk. There's so many people really make the church a success, and I'm just grateful to their support and to all of you who have continued to tune in. So have a wonderful August. Stay safe and well, and I'm going to look forward to being able to be with you back on September the 6th as we continue our Zoom audio and video services. So as you go, remember and trust in the assurance that God is always with you. You're never alone. Thanks be to God. And now may God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May God look upon you with kindness and give you peace. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of God's hand. Precious is now going to conclude our service by singing Lead Me, Lord. Thank you, Precious, for gracing us with your lovely, beautiful voice.
Life may bring. There's no other hope that I can lean upon. Lead me, Lord. Lead me all my life. Walk by me across the lonely road of every day. Take my arms and let your hand show me the way. Show the way to live inside your love. Lead me, Lord, all my life. You are my light. You're the lamp upon my feet. All the time, my Lord, I need you there. You are my life. I cannot live alone. Let me stay by your guiding love all through my life. Lead me, Lord. I'd rather go alone my way. Help me take the right direction, take your road. Lead me, Lord, and never leave my side. All my days, all my life, you are my light. You're upon my feet, all the time, my Lord, I need you there. You are my life. I cannot live alone. Let me stay by your guiding love all through my life. You are my light. You're the lamp upon my feet, all the time, my Lord, I need you there. You are my life. I cannot live alone. Let me stay by your guiding love all through my life, all through my days. Lead me, Lord. All my life.
Thanks, Precious, and thanks, Peter, AV technician. This concludes Bay United Church's conference call worship service for Sunday, July 26, 2020. If you'd like to chat and you're on a Windows-based machine, press your unmute button at the bottom left and your start video button at the bottom left. If you're on an Apple machine, those controls should be in the top right. For phone callers, I will unmute your microphone now.